Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, October 3rd, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho Tax Commission changes income tax rules for married same-sex couples. My Enemy art exhibit asks viewers to put themselves in the shoes of their enemy. An Idaho Department of Water Resources official says ongoing water adjudication process could hit north central Idaho next. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report, but first, world headlines from Feature Story News and the Pacifica Radio Network. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Police today arrested a 17-year-old suspect who lives in Genesee in the Stinker gas station robbery that occurred at 4 a.m. Saturday. Police in Spokane arrested the second suspect, 18-year-old Bailey A. Westgate of Moscow, as well today. The two are suspected of donning smiley face masks and entering the gas station just before 4 a.m. Saturday and robbing it at gunpoint. They also took cell phones belonging to two customers in the store and covered them up on the counter. Idaho Tax Commission spokesperson Liz Radosovich says the commission altered Idaho income tax forms after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in June that on a case that invalidated parts of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. The changes will force same-sex married couples who married elsewhere but live in Idaho to fill out state tax forms differently rather than simply copying income information from their federal forms. Idaho forms will no longer say Idaho taxpayers need to use the same filing status as used on their federal return. Radosovich says same-sex couples who married elsewhere must file Idaho income tax returns as single adults or heads of households. The Idaho Constitution forbids the state government from recognizing same-sex marriages. Three members of Idaho's congressional delegation have put the Forest Service on notice. They will proceed with the Loxaw land exchange through congressional legislation. Senators Jim Risch and Mike Crapo, along with U.S. Representative Raul Labrador, wrote to Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell asking him to suspend the agency's administrative process over the controversial proposed swap of about 18,000 acres of public land for 39,000 acres of logged overland owned by Western Pacific Timber Company in a checkerboard pattern with Forest Service land along the Bitterroot Divide on the Idaho-Montana border. The letter asks Tidwell to stand ready to assist in a balanced legislative proposal. The lawmakers said in the letter they intend to work with all stakeholders and develop a transparent solution that balances state, local, tribal, and national interests. Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest Supervisor Rick Brazell and Western Pacific General Counsel Andy Hawes both praised the letter, saying the legislative route will allow more flexibility than the administrative route has offered. In the letter, the members of Congress acknowledged that under the administrative rules, the exchange probably could not be approved. The proposed exchange has been vigorously opposed both by people who do not want to lose access to federal land and Idaho County commissioners who do not want to lose the tax base if private land in the county were to become public land. A traveling art installation called My Enemy was in Moscow yesterday for one day only. Artist Kenny Feldscott offered the opportunity for the public to walk within the installation at the Tank 41 Silos Theater on Jackson Street and view without charge the 5-foot-tall painted silhouettes in an interactive art show that asks participants to consider the question, what if your enemy is as human as you? Feldscott described the piece as a traveling medicine show.
When I think about my enemy, I realize that this is my own journey to somehow find some way to reconcile with those that I don't agree with, with those that have caused me harm, with those that have harmed the things that I loved. And so, I myself have been at war with myself many, many times in my own life. That old saying of sometimes we are our worst enemies. How many times the parts of myself I have looked at and have found to be not acceptable and have tried to push them away. And so I offer you this piece to examine, to just think, maybe to be inspired. Maybe we can do better. Maybe we can sit with each other, those that we don't agree with, those that we have conflict with, those that we have old woundings with. And maybe we can look across at that person and see that that person is just like we are. Their fathers and mothers and uncles and brothers and aunts and sisters and daughters and cousins and neighbors and friends, husbands and wives and grandparents. There is no person, there is no human being alive anywhere in the world who is not part of those, that weaving of the relationship. There's nobody who doesn't know those things or understand those things.
That was artist Kenny Feldscott discussing his traveling art installation, My Enemy, at the Silos Theater yesterday. The University of Idaho Native American drummers also participated in a vigil for peace and healing during the event. Here are some of the comments from those who came to view the My Enemy art installation.
Each part of it reminds you of either the fear or the blindness of humanity when it is loses its own soul, its own heart.
Well, what I value from this experience is like the healing message that they've got behind, because we've been through difficult stuff in different countries. I come from Colombia in South America, and I've been working with displaced children for 2 years. So I've witnessed the damages and consequences of war in those little ones. So it's not that easy to speak about war. It's not easy to heal your soul.
Well, I would definitely tell you it's impressive, and it's kind of, you know, it embodies lots of signifying practices, social, historical, and political signifying practices. So it's beautiful. Again, it's artistic, but it's, you know, apart from its aesthetical and artistical beauty, it's really, you know, there are a lot of messages that this exposition is transmitting to me. At least I can read it, you know, how we, I can see the divide that we oftentimes talk about. You know, we talk about in abstract ways, and how we tend to, you know, to believe that we're so different, therefore see, we have a kind of a big wall in between us and the other.
What I find interesting in this presentation is not only reminding us about that and making us aware to those of us that are sensitive, because it requires to be sensitive to get the message they're bringing in their art, but also how we can look for ways to heal the soul so that we can keep on living these challenges that life brings to us.
Moscow is the second of many stops for the My Enemy show as it travels across the United States, stopping in communities that have experienced tragedy and conflict, including Jackson, Wyoming, Pine Ridge, South Dakota, Ridgemont, Colorado, Topeka, Kansas, and New York City. If you want to learn about the project and follow the progress of My Enemy, there's a website, myenemy.org. KRFP citizen journalist Marie McHugh contributed that story. Whitman County Sheriff Brett Myers told a breakfast meeting of county commissioners yesterday he plans to crack down on cannabis growers or sellers who don't follow state regulations. Myers said, if you are going to grow or sell marijuana, you need to do it strictly by the book, otherwise you're going to face prosecution. Myers said although he opposes the new Washington state law allowing people to grow, sell, and possess recreational cannabis, his focus will be making sure people go through proper licensing processes and that law enforcement properly distinguishes between regulations over medical as opposed to recreational cannabis. Medical marijuana users in Washington can keep up to 15 plants and up to 24 ounces of finished product for personal use, whereas recreational cannabis users can possess only an ounce of finished product at a time. Myers also said he thinks the State Liquor Control Board's taxation scheme, which by his estimate makes it legal cannabis cost twice as much as on the black market, will keep a lively black market in operation. He praised the part of the law that sets blood THC levels for driving. Myers said although the tests are more expensive than testing for alcohol, they will make prosecuting driving under the influence easier than the current system that depends on observation rather than blood levels. Pullman police took Pullman City Council member Derek Skog into protective custody yesterday after making a welfare check on his apartment at about 1 p.m. when neighbors complained of someone throwing furniture off a deck and engaging in other erratic behavior. Pullman Sergeant Jake Opkenorth told the Daily News officers felt Skog was acting irrationally and followed standard procedures for similar situations. Officers had come to the same address early Wednesday morning to respond to a noise complaint. Skog was arrested in January and again in August on suspicion of driving under the influence. In the January case, he pled guilty to negligent driving, and the August case is still pending. Skog apparently left a Facebook post at 2 a.m. yesterday morning saying, "I am leaving. It's over. Goodbye." Skog was transported to Pullman Regional Hospital. Negotiations have broken down between the Bonneville Power Administration and the Idaho Conservation League over the BPA's water management plan on Lake Ponderay, and yesterday the ICL went back to court renewing a lawsuit filed in 2012. The Idaho Conservation League says the Bonneville Power Administration must do an environmental impact statement rather than a less lengthy environmental analysis to be in compliance with Environmental Protection Agency mandates. BPA's flexible winter power operations plan, which is already in operation, allows three fluctuations each winter within a 5-foot range to maximize power production at the Albini Falls Dam on the Ponderay River. The Idaho Conservation League says the plan destroys wetlands, speeds up shoreline erosion, and pollutes the lake with silt. A BPA spokesperson declined comment on the lawsuit. At Tuesday's Palouse Basin Water Summit in Pullman, Idaho Department of Water Resources Director Gary Spackman explained where the state is in its water adjudication process.
The state of Idaho has been engaged since the mid-80s in an adjudication of the larger Snake River Basin. And we initiated an adjudication in northern Idaho several years ago. And in the enabling legislation for that adjudication, it recognized that we would do that adjudication in three parts. We'd start in the Coeur d'Alene, Spokane River Basin, and then the second part of that was that we'd move to the Palouse Basin, and then the third part would be that we'd go into the Ponderay Basin. So we have been engaged in claims taking, and we're starting in on claims review now and writing recommendations in the Coeur d'Alene Spokane Basin. And we're approaching a time where we need to make a decision about whether we move forward with the adjudication, the review and decreeing of water rights in the Palouse Basin.
Spackman told the crowd at the Water Summit about the benefits of moving forward with adjudication in the region.
I want to talk a little bit about the value of an adjudication, because some people question whether it's really necessary. And so here are some of the bullet points that I think are important. It certainly documents the existence of a water right, and I think more and more people are looking for that documentation. We have, and then I think that's borne out in the next bullet point, an adjudicated or decreed water right that is documented by an individual decree of the court for that water right assures that there is a water right in place when there are land transactions that are occurring. And there are a lot of lending institutions and there are a lot of appraisal outfits. When there is a change in ownership of property, they will ask whether there is a water right on the property. And it's a great comfort to people, and I've talked to a number of them, when they can say, yes, the well that I have on my property was decreed by the court, and here's the document. And they can go back into the court records and establish that that particular water right is in place. So it has real value. And the cost of that value, at least in the state of Idaho right now, is a $25 filing fee. And I would tell you that that fee is minimal compared to the value that it creates. And then, of course, there are some other benefits to define and quantify actual water rights in case of an interstate dispute. We all hope that won't happen. I suspect at some point in time there will be something that comes through either a compact that's agreed to and then ratified by Congress, or the alternative that's worse is a lawsuit that occurs before the Supreme Court, state against state. And those things are very costly. Both to the water users. I would anticipate, at least in the Palouse Basin, that would never happen. And finally, an adjudication then establishes priority dates and quantities of entitlement for the individual water rights for possible in-state regulation. And that kind of regulation is occurring in areas of the state right now, particularly across southern Idaho and across the eastern Snake Plain aquifer.
Idaho Department of Water Resources Director Gary Spackman. Spackman said a separate petition must be filed with the adjudication court before water in the Palouse Basin can be adjudicated, and the state legislature must approve initiation of the adjudication in the region as well.
If we're moving forward in the Coeur d'Alene Basin for the adjudication of water rights, we anticipate that we'll be finishing the director's reports for that portion of the adjudication in approximately 2016. And so there are some preparatory activities that need to be accomplished before we can move into the Palouse Basin. And here's just some recommendations for thought. Under the present schedule of the Northern Idaho adjudication, the latest date for legislative approval is the spring of 2015. So the legislative session in the spring of 2015 needs to make a determination whether financially this is something that we should go forward with. The adjudication has already been authorized, but it needs this extra mantle of approval. Then, at least right now, we need to start, at least in the state of Idaho, discussions with local officials, with the public, and with legislators about whether this is something that the people in Idaho want to move forward with. And I've gotten positive responses, at least from the people that I've heard from, and my understanding is that, and this was before my time, that the people in the Moscow area and in the larger Palouse side of Idaho had been supportive of the adjudication.
That was Idaho Department of Water Resources Director Gary Spackman speaking at the Palouse Basin Water Summit in Pullman Tuesday. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, areas of frost after 1 a.m., otherwise mostly clear, low 32 degrees. Areas of frost before 9 a.m. tomorrow, otherwise sunny, high 56. mostly clear Friday night through Monday, with lows around 36 Friday night, 38 Saturday night, 42 Sunday night. Lows or highs around 63 all 3 days. Currently partly cloudy, 52 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning into the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next is Talk Nation Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. DJ Motormouth is on at 7:30 with music, entertainment throughout the evening here at KRFP Moscow, including jazz. Land of Jazz with Alan Solon at 8:30 and at 10 o'clock. Heavy music with Confinement Loaf, all here at KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis, and Mary McHugh and Rick Hensley assisted with tonight's newscast, as well as Nancy Casey. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow.